little scene as a group. We sang down there in Mexico, and so we're going to try to do the same thing. Now, we practiced in Spanish, so you may not be able to understand it. The song we're going to sing is His Robes for Mine. I don't know which number that is in the hymn book, but if you want to follow along, you can look that up in the back. That's the song that we were singing. And then at the end, I'll share a challenge from God's Word and an opportunity to share while we're there in Mexico. So, Steve, do I have control of this?
Yes.
I do. Play. That's what that button is. Okay, great. All right, so you've seen part of this before. Here are the team members that went on the trip. We had 12 teenagers and 4 adults, 8 guys and 4 girls on the teams. And here were the plans, the opportunities. We're going to try to encourage believers, especially the youth group there. Their youth group is a little bit younger than our youth group, more of a middle school youth group, although they do have some older teens. And we were able to do that. Also, we were able to host that youth rally on Saturday that we told you about. And you may see some pictures of that. Titus got to preach at that youth rally, and we saw him in the name of Christ as a result of that. So we praise the Lord for that. We got to basically engage in painting and digging. Those are the two work projects. We got to hand out a lot of gospel tracts. You'll see pictures of that. My favorite night was when we visited the church plant up north of town. I'm going to try to say the name of that town. There's about 10,000 people there, and it was really a special time. We also got to share personal testimonies and sing. We did not get the English clinic worked out, but the Lord definitely had a full schedule for us. So kind of loosely organized, I asked the team to send me pictures. This is not the world's best documentary of our trip. This is not, on the ground live, and everything perfectly. It's just a whole bunch of pictures that people took, kind of loosely categorized. So the trip started out, I want to thank Ray for helping me load the trailer. It was a very rainy Wednesday night, and here's the trailer parked outside our apartment. We ran into traffic on the way down there. Traffic was terrible. Actually, I think this is still in Denver. But anyway, traffic there was bad as well. Really aggressive driving. I don't think anyone there has taken a defensive driving course. We were told that basically as long as you have money, you're able to get a driver's license. You don't have to go to driver's ed. They just give you an instruction booklet. So we saw a lot of creativity on the roads, and we thank God for his safety. The team was able to fly. We had the vans that went down ahead, but the team was able to fly from Denver to Phoenix, a couple hours there, Frontier Airlines. It was great, I'm told. And then we got to enter Mexico. So here is, we actually walked across the border and got to sample, eat at a Mexican restaurant, a real Mexican restaurant. It was really weird. They had a Taco Bell on the American side. Somehow we just decided we really wanted to go over across the border. Here we are, getting ready to officially cross over and then come back and then drive across. Here we are walking through the streets there. Notice those dark clouds. We were prepared for hot weather, but apparently it's rainy season, and right when we were crossing the border, a thunderstorm broke loose. Air swept down from above, and it was 70 degrees, and we were pinching ourselves to make certain this was really true. We are getting our visas. The rain is pounding. We're about 10 minutes in Mexico. Driving to Hermosillo, which is about 3 hours south. There's a picture we took in one of the city parks right near the college where we stayed. This is a picture of the institute. This is the oldest independent fundamental institute there in Mexico. It's even older than UCLA, which I'm very familiar with from our church in Kansas City, and we were really comfortable there. One of the things we weren't anticipating is we didn't know the guys were going to have air conditioning. So we got in, it was warm, and I'm thinking, oh, boy, this is going to be difficult. This is not what I'm used to. And they said, oh, actually, we just got AC installed. And it could go down to 62 degrees at night. I mean, this was not suffering for Jesus. This was very, very, very comfortable. Okay? One of the things we got to do is we got to do a lot of canvassing. So these pictures may not be in the perfect order from day to day, but you can just see as much as you can here. Here we are with the group taking advantage of the shade of a tree as we're down in Bahia de Kino, which is Kino Bay, right there on the Gulf of Mexico. We got a day where we went down there and spent the night. Here's a typical neighborhood next to the church. The houses basically look alike. And we found that the Mexican people were very friendly. The Mexican dogs, not so much. So it was amazing. There was one time we went out canvassing, and I don't think I may have given one on a door. Every service. Now, that would never work here in America. You could never go out 2 hours before a service and expect anyone to be there. But we actually had 15 to 20 first-time visitors who came to the service that evening. We gave out some wooden cars that were a donation from Toys for God's Kids. And these boys had already been digging tunnels in the dirt, and we were able to give them gospel tracts and give them a toy car, and instantly they found a use for that. Here's a little friend that I met, followed me around the entire town of the mission church. Here are teens packing the bags for the door hangers. And really you're going to see a blend of our teens and their teens. And even though there was a language barrier, we thank Drew Huda, who was our go-between. We consistently were, and there's Google Translate, and then there's Drew. And we didn't always have access to Google Translate, and Drew did a great job helping us really form friendships with the youth group there. Frozen here. There we go. Nope. I think I'm frozen. You can click. Okay. This is the last canvassing picture. This is the central plaza there down at Kino Bay. And it was very, very warm that day, so we all got in the shade. So. Services. Alright, we were able to participate in several special services. Some of these were Sunday normal services, some of these were the youth rally, and then also the mission church time. This is the small church there, the mission church that we visited. These are the buildings right across from the main sanctuary, so this would be like a Sunday school space. This is actually the nursery. Gives you an idea of following Jesus is not just having a perfect building. This is actually a very nice building here. And they have the verse up here, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Jesus' words from the Gospel of John. Here's my little friend again. Here's a man that Drew and I are counseling with after the service. He responded and he did not get saved. He was very close. He knew that he was a sinner. He wanted forgiveness for his sins. He needed Jesus Christ to pay the penalty for his sins. And all he had to do was trust and believe and turn to Jesus from his own way. And he said, I'll do that later. And we reasoned with him for probably about 15 to 30 minutes, it felt like. And he was continuing to talk with us. But he said, I'll do it in about a month. So the church there is planning to follow up with him. Here we are getting together afterwards and eating some food after the service. Here's a gentleman who is on the left, and he really has struggled with alcoholism. Drew and I were able to talk with him. Again, Drew was doing the translating, did a great job there. And he wept as he prayed, and as we prayed with him for God to give him deliverance. I'm not certain if he was saved before that or not. It sounded like he had trusted Christ, and here we are praying with him. Really was one of the sweetest times of the trip for me. This is the church. One of the first days we were there, we were involved in a vacation Bible school. Some of the vacation Bible schools didn't materialize because of rain and other things, so we actually got to play soccer in the mud. This is right after Jared has taken a tumble, or right before he takes a tumble into that water. And so I didn't get the other shot of him, but it would have been good. Here's how they do their VBS right there in the shade, of course. Some of the same familiar songs that we would have grown up with, of course, in started getting cardboard boxes and making their own made sombreros. So some were more skilled than others, but it worked. Except for the fact that if you have white hair like I do, your head still burns. So anyway, the guys are working hard. I'm going to appreciate and commend our guys for their faithfulness in the heat. It was warm. Here, this gentleman here, I think, getting on the ladder. I think that's Pastor Abraham. Our girls were inside in a non-air-conditioned room. Or maybe they had some kind of portable AC running, but they clearly are painting this nursery, which is on the back side of the building. Guys loading paint. This is what the church looked like before we painted it. It really, there was a definite difference. Another job that the men had, they did a great job with, was digging. This is a trench that was used for, could be used for plumbing, and apparently a rainstorm had caused it to be very unlevel. And so our guys worked all day in the hot sun and made that amazingly level just with teamwork and shovels. And there were a few injuries, but we managed to make it out in one piece. And it was interesting. It was the rainy season, like I said, and so right after they leveled it, a few days later, it rained again. So you're seeing that pit filled with water, and I don't know that we saw the result, but we're hoping that too much of the work was not undone, because it was a lot of good hard work. One of the things we really wanted to focus on while we were there was helping their youth group and getting to know them and being encouragement to them. And so you'll see some pictures here. Here's, I think, on Wednesday evening, their youth group and our youth group mixed and mingled pictures there. We really had a great time. You can't tell, or you may not be able to tell, but there are some mattresses there, and somebody's dogpiling, I think that's Jared, is dogpiling some other guys, just having a good time. Here we are, standing around getting ready to do a canvassing. We had a wonderful time getting to meet new friends. So just some pictures there, as you're going to see the Gulf of California in the background. We'll show you some more pictures of that. You know, one of the special things about this trip is we would get together and pray, and we would have one of our teens pray in English, and one of their teens would pray in Spanish. And to realize that the same God understands both of us, and just the fellowship that we had. We all worked with broken English and broken Spanish and had a great time. There were some soccer balls that were donated, and there were some very happy young men that received soccer balls. In fact, it was the cutest thing. I'd have guys come to me and they need a translator, and or maybe they'd memorize the English and say, "Pastor, is it true that you're giving away soccer balls for free?" And I'd say, "Yes, that's true." And I just look at them. And finally they'd be like, "Can I have one?" And so we gave away more soccer balls. It really was a blessing and enjoyment. Here are the three amigos, the four amigos, something like that. We had a campfire testimony service time on the beach there at Kino Bay. Interacting with people at services, our teams did an excellent job with this. A lot of smiling faces, made a lot of different friends. We went down to Kino Bay, which is about an hour away, and rented this house for about $650 American. But the thing is, we had both our entire team and their youth group staying in the house overnight. So if you divide that out by number of people, you'll see how many people we had here. We had a girls' section of the house, a guys' section of the house, and we managed to survive. But really, it was a special time to go down there and have testimonies and challenges, and we went canvassing while we were there. Through our fellowshipping, eating food, different pictures of different friends, there's some of the men from their youth group. Let's talk about the food. We ate very well. I was working on a diet right before we went, and I realized, I wouldn't have a connection with my fitness pal. So, and who wants this shrimp when you have this wonderful, the food was incredible. We had flavors that we did not know existed, and they were wonderful. This is the first place we ate here in Mexico. Every night, we would go out to eat. We typically ate anywhere from 9 o'clock to about 11 to 11:30. Just was a different schedule there. Breakfast would be 8:30 to 9, and then we'd eat around 2:30 in the afternoon, and then it was late for supper. Here are some of the ladies who helped us. The lady on the right was our cook. She did an amazing job. The key to the phrase was love the cook, and raided the little cantina and made a stop there. We were enjoying some Domino's pizza, so we did get some American food while we were there. We stopped in for some ice cream across from the park. That was delicious. Here's some pictures of our time at Kino Bay, which was just one night. We went down here and got to go swimming in the ocean. This is a picture of Island of the Virgin Mary, something. There were shrines all along the road as we would travel, and part of their idolatry. And there's a huge cactus that we got to stop beside. They say it takes 50 years for a saguaro cactus to grow one arm. And so who knows how old this cactus is. Pictures, beautiful pictures there. The right on this home was right on the water. Really beautiful. One of the most sobering things of the trip, we visited the shrine at Magdala, or Magdalena, which is on our way back from Hermosillo in Sonora. And from this city, there are two men who were very famous. One is a presidential candidate who was assassinated. His statue is there. The other is Father Kino. Father Kino lived in the 1600s, and he was responsible for planning 60 Spanish missions before California, Arizona, New Mexico, and, of course, Mexico, before those southern states and Mexico, for the southern states were part of the United States. And all of those missions, all the classic missions, he is the man who was responsible for that. In fact, you're going to see his remains. There he is. They see the claim of those with the bones of Father Kino. And even more sobering than that, they have a chapel, if you will. And I don't know if I can zoom in here. I probably can't. No, I don't. I think I just got out of it. Right in the middle, on that other side of the white wall, is a mannequin. And this mannequin is a dummy figure of Father Kino. And people will come into the chapel, and they will pray to Father Kino, the mannequin. They will kiss his hands and his feet. If they have an issue, they're trying to need healing of the leg, they'll kiss the leg. And then they will try to raise the mannequin up. And if the mannequin will sit up, then they receive their blessing. They have their prayers answered. But if the mannequin resists and won't go up in the same position, then they have more penance than they need to do. And it was very sobering. We saw a young man who came in, and he kissed the statue multiple times, tried to make it sit up. It wouldn't sit up. And he just went across, and he just went out. And you just realized the darkness and the sadness. Right behind this is a statue of St. Jude. In a sense, it's just a statue, but they actually worship that statue. And there's a sign on the wall that says, if you will pray to St. Jude and pray in faith, you will receive. He's done many miracles, etc., etc. And you know from the Bible that behind these idols are actually demonic powers. And it was very odd and eerie. You felt like you were in next to the enemy. Let me just say it that way. Don't want to always put stock in feelings, but there was a feeling. And we were definitely in a place of darkness. Here we are heading back to, I don't know if you can see that middle sign, it says USA, excited. And we had to make a rush for the airport, but here we are, and we made it safely. Let me just read this email from Pastor Alvarez. He's the pastor, I don't know if you can see that or not. He says, hello, brethren. This is the Mexican pastor. This is translated for us. Greetings. God bless you. Thank you very much for the email you sent us. We're happy that this trip was a blessing to the group. We wish to thank you for all the work that you did in bringing U Team Hermosillo to serve among us. Thank you for all your effort and participation. It was a great blessing to see you again. And he goes on and he says, let us know if we can do anything to serve you. Here's some comments from Pastor Huda. Pastor Huda is, of course, here at our church, but on Sunday nights he has a Mexican or Hispanic ministry at Woodside, so he's not able to be here this evening, so he wrote these words. Dear Tri-City, I'm sorry that our commitment to the service at Woodside doesn't allow us to join you for the service tonight. I'm grateful to the Lord for his working on the trip and to the team members for their hard work, good spirit, and overcomer's attitude through schedule changes, heavy heat, sickness, and language barriers. The perseverance and many prayers by the team and the church were rewarded with excellent service in the last school day in Mexico at the Mission Church in the village of Pescadilla. It was especially rewarding to see both youth groups, Betavia and Tri-City, combine efforts that night in canvassing and special music so that the Lord brought in 21 first-time visitors and then 8 professionals.
church, we usually sang songs, and one song we sang was Odyssey of the Dawn, and that's one of my favorite songs. And that was a really encouragement to me, even though we didn't know all the words, we still tried to worship God, and I believe we can worship God in that. One thing we prayed for is a guy named Carlos. He got saved 10 months early, before we got there, and he was so open to hearing the gospel, and he was just loving us, and we loved him. And his brother, Luis, he was the one who invented the sombreros out of the boxes. And then Pastor Abram, he was just amazing to take off his work and just to come spend time with us and for him to love us and love the Lord that much. It was just awesome. The title of the week was Be Flexible, which means just be prepared for anything. And then that reminded me of something that Pastor Andy at camp told me, told all the teens. It said, trust the God you cannot see to faithfully accomplish what only He can see. So that really encouraged me through the week, and this whole year has been on God showing Himself to me, and through the week, I really saw God.
Hi, so I got to go to the mission trip too. It was really great to see my old friends that I grew up with in Mexico. I was looking forward to this trip, I think a year ago, and I just couldn't wait to see my new friends here from Colorado, to go over there across the border and to see my old friends. And I was hoping that that would go smoothly. Lord, please let them connect, you know. And the Lord answered the prayers, and they connected really well. The guys had a good testimony to their youth group. They had good attitudes, and I think that affected the atmosphere for the teens. When we got there, we went to eat street tacos. The best tacos in the world, ever. No argument there. So, then we ate some hot dogs later in the week. Also, the best hot dogs in the world, because they have, you know, the sausage. They have bacon wrapped around the sausage. You know, how neat is that? You know. So, but it was great to see Pastor Abraham also. It was also great to see Pastor Abraham get off his job and go serve the youth group, because you could see that he had a heart for the Lord and for his teens, and not necessarily for the job and for the money, although he's supposed to be loyal to that, but he's more loyal to the Lord. He's got to follow the Lord rather than men. That service in Pesqueda. On Thursday night, that was something very special, very unique. We went there to the town like 40 minutes away from the city of Hermosillo. Pastor Stedman preached, my dad translated. That was a very powerful message, a very clear presentation of the gospel. The simple message that God loves you. He loves you so much that He gave His Son to die on the cross. And it's so easy to accept that gift and to become a Christian, a child of God. It's so powerful that you can feel it, you know. And a lot of people got saved there. That was very good to see, you know. I didn't get to see that much here. I mean, it's great to be in the States, but when you see sincere hearts there, they may not be the richest people on earth, but they have that sincere heart, that openness to the gospel. They know that there is a God in their hearts, and they're so open to it. Now, we got to talk to this guy who didn't get saved. Just pray for him. We really try to reason with him. I think my heart and I think all of our hearts go to him, and hopefully he gets saved. But this other guy, who's about 50 years old, he came and he just started weeping. He just started crying. This is a grown man who's been drinking for a long time. And you can see his head, his face was red, and then that message really got to him. And Pastor Stedman started talking to him, and then I translated. The language wasn't a problem, you know. The translation wasn't, you know, everything was going smoothly. It was really good and really sobering to see that man get on his knees, start weeping, and start asking God to forgive him. He was really crying, and that really got to me. It was one of the sweetest things that I saw on this trip, too. I think for Pastor Stedman, too. And I really thank for your prayers. I thank the Lord that he allowed our youth group to go to Hermosillo. It was very special, and it's something that we're going to remember for the rest of our lives.
So Jacob Rodriguez wasn't able to be here tonight, so I'm going to read his testimony. Sorry I can't be here in person to give you this testimony. I am back in Mexico, a different part of Mexico, visiting my grandmother that I haven't seen for at least 8 years. I still wanted to share with you what God taught me through this week. I learned a lot on this missions trip. God really used this trip to show me how I still have a lot to learn. I would say the main thing he showed me is the extreme need for believers to share the gospel with others. The last night of the trip, we went to a fishing village, which, if I recall, was named Pesquera. We were invited, we were there to be involved with that night's service. But even before the service began, we handed out tracts of the houses around the church with an invitation attached to them to invite people to that evening service. That night, there were at least 20 new visitors who had never been to church. We were able to sing and Pastor Stedman preached. By the end of the night, there were at least 8 or 9 new believers from that one service. It was so exciting to see how open the people were to receiving the gospel. This showed just how much these people were looking for something they could put their hope and trust in. It impressed upon me how we just need to go out there and share it with them and let God do the work. It's never us that brings people to Christ, but God gives us the great commission to go out and share this good news with the world because the world needs it. Without this news, no one can have true peace, true hope, and the true love that comes with giving up your life to Christ. So that's Jacob's testimony. So one of my biggest struggles going there was just the language. I really wish I could have been able to talk to people more, which was kind of hard, but then it was also a blessing to humble me. But then throughout the week, it was just God was using me in the work. God was using me to just have fun with the youth group people there. But it was awesome to see that last night in Pesquera, just the people love God and just the passion that they had. One of the biggest encouragements to me was Pastor Abraham, who at the end of the week, we gave him his gift, and he just starts crying. We go up and hug him, and it was just like, this man loves God. This man is passionate about God, and he's going to trust God through financial difficulty just to be serving God. So it was a big encouragement to me. One of the things I learned was that I have a lot to learn. Just in missions in general, it's really hard to go to a different country and really fit in. So it was kind of weird for me to fit in. They called me Weddle, which is the blonde boy, but that was okay. They were really kind and nice, which was a really big encouragement, but the biggest thing I learned was I have a lot to learn, so no testimony.
Well, buenos tardes. Good evening. My name is Jennifer Greenwood. This was my first missions trip, and this was a missions trip I had prayed for 3 years. I wanted to go on a missions trip, but it didn't seem right a couple times. But I also prayed specifically that God would let me go to Mexico. And I also prayed that the Huda family would come with us so that they could help lead it. So 3 years I prayed for that, and God brought it all together. So that was an encouragement for me. One of the big blessings for me was just going door to door, passing out tracts to the people there. They were so open to the gospel. They would come out of their houses, unlike many Americans, and they were so grateful that you just took the time to talk to them. And the youth group there, that we worked with, the Betania, they were so excited that we were there. They had this strong desire to serve the Lord. They loved the Lord. And there was a little bit of a language barrier still for me, even though I know a little Spanish, but it was so great just speaking with them and having fun with that. And then on our way home at that Catholic shrine, it was so, so sad there. And you felt this evil, even in the plaza before you even got to the buildings. And it really crushed your heart because you you want to share this, the truth with them. You want them to come to know the Lord and not to be bonded in their religion like that. That is just going to take them to hell. So my heart went out to them. And so now that we're back, I am praying now that God lets me go back. That was the best week of my life. And I'm sad that it's over, but I'm looking forward to seeing what God does next.
Well, it was a privilege to go with these teens and my husband and the Judas to Mexico. It was my third time to Mexico, but my first as an adult. And it was really good for us to get to know these teens better. There's something about the small group that we really become more of a family, and that was really special for us. It was a blessing to see these teens just really reach out to the youth group. That was the most exciting thing that I saw, was how our teens and their teens just had such fellowship with very little language in common, but they have the same Lord, and that was very encouraging. For me, the biggest thing that challenged my heart really was a sandwich on either side of the trip. The first day when we got there, our VBS was canceled because of rain, so Mrs. Huda and one of the Mexican ladies and I went out and canvassed and just invited some of the children to church. And I, of course, wasn't very useful with the language. I tried to just smile a lot and try to be friendly with the kids, but it was a blessing to me to watch them share the gospel and just reach out to a lot of hurting kids and families. And while we were out walking around, going door to door, we also met two Mormon gentlemen who were doing the same thing. It was a challenge again to me that there are people in our neighborhoods, as well as down there in Mexico, every day going out and seeking to share the opposite of what we believe. And they are trying as hard as they can to win people to their religion, a religion that doesn't, that is all about what we can do for Christ instead of what Christ has done for us. And it has already been mentioned about the last day on our way back to the States, how we stopped at the shrine. Again, I was challenged with the fact that these people are in darkness. This man, Father Kino, has done so much to send people to hell. And how passionate am I on the opposite end of that? I have the truth. How passionate am I to share that good news with others? A lot of times in my comfortable Christianity in America, where it is very comfortable, I can sit back and say, oh, I can let somebody else tell them about Christ. Somebody else surely will tell my relatives. And that's partially true. Somebody will probably tell them, but it's not going to be the truth that Jesus saves. It's going to be some other religion that says, do your best and you hopefully will get to heaven. Or say this prayer and do these works. We have the truth, and I need to be the one out there spreading the gospel to those I love and to those I don't even know. So that was a big challenge, and I thank you all for your prayers on this trip.
Hi, I'm Lourdes Huta. Many of you know me. I was just laughing inside, because Pastor Stedman said, here comes the youth group, and I'm here standing in front of them. Oh, I'll take advantage of that youth group. I'll be brief. I just want to thank you all for all your prayers. You know, the language is sometimes very bearish, but this, you know, the heart is more important than anything else. I just want to thank the Lord because he used his servants, and his name was glorified in this team. Thank you.
All right. Hi, I'm Titus. I got to go on the mission trip this summer. It was my first, so it was great. We had a great time in Mexico. I got the opportunity to preach, which was awesome, and the Lord really worked. I told them down there, as I got the opportunity to share a testimony, that there were three things that I loved about Mexico. Number one was the country, or the city. I loved Mexico. I loved Hermosillo. It was amazing, everything about it. Number two was the food. Everything was amazing. You know, Taco Bell is American food. Yeah, in comparison to everything we ate down there. It was really good, and I just loved everything about it. And then the third thing was the people. I was really encouraged by the people and how they came up to you and greeted you right away. As soon as they saw you, they came up and, hi, my name is whatever, and how are you? And they were really open to everything. They were especially open to the gospel, though. So I want to thank you all for all the funding with finances, and also with all the prayer support, as we were able to hand out a lot of tracts and canvas to a lot of people. So it was great. I really enjoyed it, and I thank you all for everything, and I thank the Lord for giving me the opportunity to go to Mexico.
Hey, I'm Blake, and this was my first missions trip to ever go on. We were going to go on a missions trip with my old church, Birch, but it happened that I wasn't able to go on that. So God granted that I was able to go on this one with Tri-City, and it was fun with that. And one thing that I noticed down in Mexico is the people down there, they were, really, really thankful, even though they had little to nothing compared to America. I had more money on me than they probably had in their bank accounts, which was really whoa. And they were so thankful for what little they had, and it showed me that I needed to be more thankful what God has given me and all that. And also with Pastor Abraham, with him, she was a good friend. We talked down on the, because I didn't know much Spanish, so yeah, but we talked what little we could, but he was a blessing to all of us, and it's going to be really nice when we get to heaven. I can finally understand him. So yeah, then we went to that Catholic shrine. It was basically, you could feel it, it was so thick, you could have cut it with a knife. It was everything around you. You felt like someone was watching your back, even though nobody was there. So it was eerie. So it was really fun going on the mission trip, and I'm thankful that I was able to go.
Hello, my name is Daniel Guerrero, and this is my first mission trip. And so I'd just like to start off by saying thank you for all of your support. And I'd like to share two things I learned. Number one, the food was amazing. The best food I've ever had. Number two, that in serving the Lord, there are trials. No matter what you do, there's going to be hard times. Now, in Mexico is heat, being tired, schedule change, language barrier, and just a lot more. And at the Catholic shrine, I felt like we were in the presence of sin. and watching people trying to lift the mannequin, it just made me cringe inside because those people didn't really know the saving grace of our Lord. And so they'd try to lift it, but it wouldn't sit up, and then they would do the cross, and they'd go home thinking that they weren't good enough. They had to do more good works to get to heaven. And so that's just one thing that I saw, and that the world just needs more missions, that we all need to get out and just present the gospel to the world. So thank you.
Hi, I'm Alyssa Guerrero, and this was my first missions trip. When I was in Mexico, I was amazed how the kids were so happy and where they were and how their homes were. And after it rained or poured, and because it was so hot, the kids would go outside and play in the puddles and have a lot of fun. And they didn't have a lot, but they still loved it, and it was just, they had a lot of fun. And the thing that really encouraged me to bring back home was that we don't need a lot to make ourselves happy. We need to share some things with others and those who are out on the streets and give them our love and share the gospel and other things.
All right, so I got to do most of the talking at the beginning, and in just a moment, our team is going to come up and sing. But first, let me share my biggest struggle on the trip. It was a struggle getting sick, and over half our team, I think, got sick at one point or another. Some, even after the fact, got home and got sick. So that was a difficulty. It was a difficulty. It was hot. You know, we're just out of our comfort zone. It was nonstop. But it was worth it. It really was. Probably the hardest thing for me was the Pastor Bishop said this even earlier. We were talking, and he said I could, you know, there's an American Canadian view of time, and then there's a Mexican Latin American view of time, and the byword was be flexible, and that was hard, and I was telling the teens to be flexible, and then I was telling them what I thought the schedule was. And then when it would change, you know, that was hard. And I really admire our missionaries around the world who give up their view of things in order to reach someone else. You know, we often want other people to come to Christ on our terms. I'll talk to that neighbor if they will come to my house, if they'll bring it up. And being willing to lay down, you know, and just be willing to do whatever is necessary. It was a stretching experience for me, and I'm thankful that I got to participate. I'd like to share a word of scripture here as we close. It was amazing how God worked on that final night. I was not prepared to preach. I had talked to Pastor Huda, and he had said, oh yeah, now we're going to need somebody to preach, you know, on this Thursday night. And that was like a week before. And I said, yeah, you know, and I said, well, I'd be happy to. I'd enjoy that. And then as we got into the trip, we were busy, and I forgot about it. And we were going to the mission church, and right before he said, now, and Pastor Stedman, you're preaching tonight, right? And you're ready. And I said, yes. And I'm like, Lord, what am I going to preach on? I haven't, you know. And anyway, he brought back this passage from Mark chapter 5, which for me, as a college student, used to be the message I would preach at nursing homes. And you think, I didn't have any notes. And using some of that, plus the way of the master that we've been studying in our evangelism class. And you could sense that this was going to be an important night because we were all worn out. You have this at least I felt this desperation, God, I'm not ready for this. And then to see all these new people coming in, and the pastor is greeting the new visitors, and there's all these people, and there's so many unsaved people, and feeling like, God, I am not up to this task. And sitting there and praying and saying, God, would you help me to preach the greatest message of my life? Because this is the greatest message of my life. These people do not know Jesus. And Lord, you're the one who's going to have to work in their hearts. And he stood up and did not have notes, just had a simple story of a woman who came to Jesus. And God's power was so present. It really was all glory to God, because in our weakness, he was strong. And he opened eyes, he drew people to himself, and it was heavenly. It was awesome. So I'm going to go to that passage of Scripture in maybe 5 minutes here. I'm not going to preach the whole message, but I just want to share what we talked about that evening. If you go to Mark chapter 5, and I've got a timer up here just to let you know. I know I went 5 minutes over this morning, so I don't know if that means I need to end 5 minutes early tonight, okay? But I have about 6 minutes here until 7:30, so let me just share a little bit, and then we'll close with our song. Mark chapter 5. We read this story in verse 24. So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. I've been to Capernaum. I've seen the streets. The streets are about as wide as this aisle. And there are houses upon houses. It still exists to this day. It's not a town anymore. It's just an archaeological site. And this would have been very difficult, pressing through the crowd, trying to go with this man. And it says, verse 25, a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. She had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. Doesn't tell us the name of this woman. She's an unnamed woman. And truly her disease would have been an embarrassing disease. It was a disease that would prevent her in the Old Testament, from going up to the temple. She was not allowed to worship because this was a defiling disease. And other people, if they came in contact with this woman and touched her, they would have to go through ceremonial rituals in order to go up to the temple. They would not be allowed to do this. And so it ostracized her. And that's one of the reasons she probably came secretly. But not only that, we find that she had had this for 12 years. That's a long time to have any type of illness. Debilitating illness. And she's done everything in her power to try to get rid of her disease. It says she suffered many things from many physicians. She had gone to doctor after doctor after doctor, asking for a remedy and trying what they told her. But she kept going to the doctors because no one had the answer. In fact, she spends all the money she has, verse 26. She's now out of resources. She can't even hire another doctor because all her money is gone. And does it work? It says no. She was not bettered. Instead, she grew worse. This woman had a physical issue, a physical disease, but she is also, in a sense, a picture of our spiritual lives without Christ. We have a disease called sin. And no amount of good works can get rid of our sin. A lot of cultures have this, and religions have this idea that, well, as long as my good works outweigh my bad works, then God will accept me and let me enter into heaven. That's like a man who has cancer saying, well, you know what? I know I've got cancer, but I'm going to eat a really good diet, and I'm going to exercise a lot at Planet Fitness. You know, if you don't get rid of the cancer, it doesn't matter if you get really big and buff, you're still going to die. And you know, the fact of the matter is, no matter how many good works we do, it doesn't take away sin. The only thing that takes away sin is the blood of an innocent lamb. And the only lamb of God is Jesus Christ, the innocent one who takes away the sin of the world. He died on the cross for our sins. And the point of the matter is, we need to be like this woman where we come to the end of ourselves. She had nothing. This is where she's at. She's going to die. She has a terrible future. Whatever this disease had for her, she has no hope. But notice we find her decision. Somehow she hears of Jesus. Look what it says. When she had heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd, verse 27. She touched his garment, for she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. She had heard that people could be healed just by simply touching Jesus. And so she says, you know what? I'm going to leave my life. I'm going to leave the doctors. I'm going to leave the remedies behind. I'm going to turn from that in faith in something else. And I'm going to go to Jesus Christ. She makes a decision. You know, for each one of us, we have to come to a point in our life, if we're going to be saved and delivered, we have to come to a point where we turn our back on all of our effort to please God.
All of our hopes of earning eternal life, we have to turn our back on that, and we have to turn to Jesus Christ himself, who has done the work for us. And this is what she does. She turns to Jesus. We not only see her decision, we also see her deliverance. Notice what it says. Immediately, verse 29, the fountain of her blood was dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" His disciples said, "You see the multitude thronging you. You say, 'Who touched me?'" But he looked around to see her who had done this thing. The woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." We see when she turns to Jesus by faith, when she leaves the doctor's remedies behind and puts her faith and trust in the great physician, he instantly and immediately heals her. It's the same thing in the case of a sinner's life when a person comes to the end of themselves and says, "You know what? I don't have what I need to truly have real life, and I definitely don't have what I need to have righteousness. I cannot please God. I'm going to turn from my sin. I'm going to turn from faith in myself, and I'm going to go to Jesus, the one who perfectly pleased God, the innocent lamb, the one who was shed his blood for my behalf." When a person does that, they make that decision to go to Jesus in repentance and faith. He instantly forgives their sins and heals them, just like he healed this woman. He didn't say, "Take 2 aspirin and call me in the morning." He didn't say, "This is going to take a long process." No, he has all power. And it doesn't matter how much sins we've committed. It doesn't matter how great our debt against God is. When we come to Jesus, he pays it in full, and he heals us instantly. And he says, "Your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be whole of your affliction." And you know, that night as we sat in that little room that was probably the size of, I don't know, just a portion of this section of the auditorium, and just reasoned of sin and righteousness and judgment and told people, "All you need to do is turn from yourself and your sin to Jesus Christ," there were 8 people that said yes. And those people were instantly forgiven. They were healed. And that was just amazing. Oh, me of little faith. I was praying, "God, would you please maybe save someone?" And it was truly awesome. Folks, it's not just people in Mexico who need to be saved. Maybe you're here tonight and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as the Savior for your sins. You know that you have to stand before God someday. You can try to stand in your own righteousness, but you're not going to be any better. You're going to stand in filthy rags, the Bible says. Or you can trade places with Jesus Christ. He can take your sin debt on the cross, and you can stand in his perfect white righteous robes. And God will accept you, not because of your work, but because of his. And if you have any questions about that, please talk to us. We'd love to make that clear from the Bible. We're going to sing about that now. His robes for mine. So I don't know what the number is. Does anybody know the number? I think it's in our hymnal. Yes, Jake. 279. Okay, so we're going to sing this in Spanish because that's what we practice. But if you will follow along, you'll be able to figure out what this song is saying. Okay? So we're going to line up over here. We haven't practiced lining up. That's okay. Yeah, do the intro just like we did in Mexico.
you so much for coming. Appreciate your attention. And if you'd like to talk to us, we'd love to share more with you, but I think that's it. We are dismissed. Thank you very much.